Micah chapter 2. This is just the first four verses tonight. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man in his house, even a man in his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil. In that day shall one take up a parable against you, and lament with the doleful lamentation, and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. So we'll just take that first bit as our title, Woe to them that devise iniquity. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for your kindness and goodness and your word and the privilege to open it together and assemble around our Savior and pray that now, this time that we've set aside, Lord, we would focus on hearing from your word and the Holy Spirit would be able to speak into each of our hearts and work miracles in our lives. We are grateful and we give you this service and love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see this progression here, but we see that disobedience to the Lord in our behavior starts in the heart. And then it leads to ultimately chastisement. But it begins in the heart. It says, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, but they devise it. This is how the devil works. It starts in our hearts. The Bible talks in Ezekiel 14:3. It says, men have set up their idols in their hearts. We see, if you go to Acts chapter 7, we'll see an example in the life of Israel. Remember, after the spies brought the evil report here in Acts chapter 7, God is recounting this event. And look what it says in verse 39 of Acts 7. It says that to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again unto Egypt. So first it happened in their hearts that they said, we want to go back to Egypt. And then that led to behavior, to wrong behavior, where they said, let's go. Let's get us a new captain. Let's go back to Egypt. And then Proverbs chapter 6, if we'll turn there, please. Solomon wrote about this as well, that disobedience always starts in the heart. And then that leads to eventually to action. But notice Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. It says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Look at this next verse. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. So an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. God says to them, woe to them that devise iniquity. Talking about his children Israel and how they had devised this sin in their hearts, and now they were beginning to act upon them. And this is always going to be a battle for us as Christians, isn't it? The devil is always going to be after our thought life, trying to get us to think wrong, to think evil, and then, of course, that will lead to sin. So what can we do about it? Well, God makes it clear that we have within our power the help of the Holy Spirit and the help of God's Word to protect us from these attacks. But that doesn't guarantee we have to put them into practice to protect our minds, to protect our thoughts, so that we don't devise this iniquity in our hearts. So the answer for us as Christians, twofold. Number one, the Word. Go to Psalm 1, verse 2. And so it must begin with God's Word. We must focus on His Word, and with the Word, our thoughts can be controlled. It's just a lot of Christians don't want to put in the work that it takes to make this a reality. Psalms 1, verse 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he, what? Meditate day and night. David said, "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day," in Psalm 119:97. So the only protection, one of the protections for our thought life is this book. We need to make it part of our lives. We need to meditate in it. We need to memorize it. We need to read it. We need to study it. But we also cannot do it without God's help. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, very well-known passage on the battle for our thought life. You know, David even prayed. He said, "Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." He said, not only let the words that I speak be acceptable, but let what I meditate on be acceptable. He said, "I need your help, Lord." But here in 2 Corinthians 10, most of us know this passage. Verse 3, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Sorry, verse 4. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." Look at the next one. "And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That tells me it's possible if God tells us to do it. If God says that we are to cast down the imaginations, if God says that we're to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ, it means it can be done. Now, it can't be done without His help, but He indwells us. So it can be done. So our thought life must be right. Otherwise, disobedience begins in the heart, and the progression obviously leads to major troubles. Because God gave us a free will, didn't He? This is one of the things that sets us apart from the animals. Is we, you know, they just basically run on instinct, but we have a free will. We can make decisions to do right. We can make decisions to do wrong. And as it says there in verse 1 of our passage, Micah 2, he says, "Because it is in the power of their hand." So they had the power to do right or to do wrong. We have the power to do right or to do wrong. But we decide. So it always begins with as it says, they devise wicked imaginations in their heart. It always begins with wrong thinking. I switched it to this side, Michael. I don't know. Maybe it's my phone interacting. I'll pull it out because it's right by the phone. Okay, so it begins with the wrong thought life, devise iniquity in their hearts, and as we know, the progression is not good, is it? We see that. Go to James chapter 1, and we'll see God describing this progression. James chapter 1. This is a very important verse for Christians because a lot of Christians have this misconception that God tempts us with sin, but He doesn't. We're told He doesn't. Verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with either evil, neither tempteth He any man." God does not tempt us with sin. Verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin." So notice it's conceived in our hearts. This is what he's talking about Israel. It says they devise iniquity in their hearts. It's conceived in our hearts. And it says that when it's conceived, what's it do? It brings forth sin. And then sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So this wrong thinking always leads to wrong behavior if we don't ask for help from the Holy Spirit and God's Word. So back to verse 2 of our passage. It says, because they devise iniquity in their hearts. It starts in the hearts, the wrong thinking. Look what it leads to. Verse 2, wrong behavior. They covet fields, and they take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. They oppress a man in his house, even a man in his heritage. So he's talking about his children. He says, you've devised iniquity in your hearts. Look what the result is. Now you're living in complete disobedience to my commands. So your wrong thinking, your wrong devices in your heart has led to wrong behavior. God says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Our thought lives can lead us in the wrong direction. We'll go to Mark chapter 7. Jesus talked about our thought life. And he says the wrong thoughts come from within. Mark chapter 7. Look what he says. Verse 18, he saith unto him, Are you so without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because the Pharisees are making a big deal about the disciples not washing their hands. Because it entereth in, not into the heart, but into the belly, and goeth out of the drought, purging all meats. He said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. He says, that's what defiles us, is what comes out of our own hearts. Those wicked imaginations, the devising of evil, he says, that's what defiles a man. Not eating something that's a bit dirty. That doesn't defile us. What defiles us is our wrong thoughts leading to wrong behavior. In Titus 1, it says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. And sometimes Christians do the same thing. So we see here, Israel had a free will like all of us do. He says that they devise iniquity in their hearts. Wrong thinking has led to wrong behavior. That's always true. And then verse 3, it says, Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, against this family do I devise evil, from which ye shall not remove your necks. The next step is, of course, God steps in and has to deal to us. If we don't get right, if we don't get it sorted, next comes chastisement. Because he says there in verse 3, Neither shall ye go haughtily. They, because of their disobedience, they were prideful. We know what the Bible says about pride. Proverbs 16:18, Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So verse 4, In that day shall one take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation and say, We be utterly spoiled. The day is coming, he says. And the day is going to come when they're in Babylon saying, Woe is us. We've been taken out of Jerusalem as a nation. Now we're captive to Nebuchadnezzar and to Babylon. And they're going to be singing these lamentations. We actually have a book called Lamentations where Jeremiah is doing that very thing and lamenting over the condition of Israel and they're find themselves in this state of chastisement. So the progression is pretty simple, pretty clear, but it always starts to those that devise iniquity, and we can either feed that or we can fight that as God's children. And the weapons that we have, as we just read in 2 Corinthians, are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. The weapons we have are the Word of God, prayer, the Holy Spirit, spiritual weapons. And we can fight those wrong thoughts, or we can feed them. And if we feed them, the result is going to, as Jesus said, out of the evil of the heart, wrong behavior is going to come. And if that wrong behavior comes, we don't get it sorted. Then, as we see in verse 4, lastly comes the disobedience, or the chastisement for the disobedience. The Bible says, He that being often reproved, Proverbs 29:1, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed in that without remedy. And then Isaiah 2:11, let's look there quickly. God also talking to his children about their disobedience and their pride. But notice he says, The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. That's pretty strong, isn't it? The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. There's no room for pride with God as God's children. And there's no room for devising iniquity in our hearts. Now the devil's going to keep trying to use it against us, that besetting sin which does so easily beset us, Hebrews chapter 12. But God promised that if we will act upon those wrong thoughts and let it lead to wrong behavior, that the result will be God chastising us. And that he does that out of love. Amen? Remember that. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, the Bible says. He doesn't chasten us because he hates us. He chastens us because he loves us. And he wants us to have a fruitful Christian life. He wants us to live for him. He wants us to enjoy our Christian life. If we're living in sin, none of those things are happening. So he's just loving us. And he loved Israel enough to warn them and warn them and warn them. And then eventually chastise them. And yet the promises still hold true. As we saw this morning, they still get their kingdom one day. So woe to them, he says, that devise iniquity. Fight the devil. Amen? In your thought life. That list of things we should think on Philippians 4:8. Work on that. If the devil's attacking your thought life, think on the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. And where do we find those things? In here. Amen? So woe to them that devise iniquity. Lord, thank you for